Putin moves closer to Beijing as Moscow seeks counterweight against US pressure. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hide, and number 9,650, Vladimir Putin landed in Beijing on May 19, 2026 to meet Xi Jinping, arriving less than a week after Donald Trump completed his own China trip. Putin and #X27's agenda centers on deepening trade and energy linkages with China as Western sanctions continue to constrain Russia and #X27's access to dollar-denominated financial systems. Russia needs a buyer for its energy and a clearing system for its exports, while China needs both, forming the strategic logic behind the bilateral relationship. Vladimir Putin landed in Beijing on May 19, 2026 to meet Xi Jinping, arriving less than a week after Donald Trump completed his own China trip. The back-to-back visits by the world's two most powerful heads of state signal that Beijing has become the mandatory stop for any leader seeking to reframe global trade and energy architecture, and the sequence matters as much as the substance. Putin's agenda centers on deepening trade and energy linkages with China as Western sanctions continue to constrain Russia's access to dollar-denominated financial systems. Specific deal terms and financial commitments from the Beijing meetings were not disclosed in reporting available at the time of publication. What is disclosed is the strategic logic: Russia needs a buyer for its energy and a clearing system for its exports, and China needs both. The bilateral relationship is not new, but the timing of this visit, bracketed by Trump's China trip and an active Iran war reshaping global oil markets, gives it unusual weight. No direct quotes from Putin or Xi were available in source material at the time of publication. The visit was confirmed by Al Jazeera on May 19, 2026. For institutional capital, the visit crystallizes a structural reality that many portfolio managers have been underpricing. The bifurcation of global commodity flows is not a temporary disruption but a durable architecture. Russian energy heading east, Chinese finance heading west of the sanctions line, and a Middle East war that has pushed Brent crude to approximately $111 a barrel are not separate stories. They are one story. Oil at $111 and the energy corridor Putin needs the Iran war, which began on February 28, 2026, reshaped the global oil market before Putin even boarded his plane for Beijing. Brent crude, which traded at approximately $73 a barrel before the conflict began, now sits near $111 a barrel, a move of roughly 52% in under 3 months. That price spike has a direct read-through for Russian revenues. Russia prices much of its crude below Brent to attract buyers willing to navigate sanctions risk, but even at a steep discount, a $38 per barrel rise in the benchmark materially expands the ruble value of every barrel sold east. Putin arrives in Beijing with a stronger fiscal hand than he held 6 months ago, regardless of what Xi agrees to offer at the table. Brent crude trades near $111 a barrel as of May 19, 2026, up from approximately $73 at the start of the Iran war on February 28, 2026, a 52% increase in under 90 days. Source: BBC/RAC data. The RAC noted that petrol in the UK reached 158.52p per litre, its highest level since the start of the Iran conflict, and that unleaded prices are likely to climb to at least 160p per litre in coming weeks absent a sustained drop in oil. Simon Williams, RAC head of policy, stated that diesel prices should really be much lower than it is, pointing to retailer margin capture rather than wholesale cost as part of the problem. Our view: the energy price environment gives Russia unusual leverage entering these talks. A prolonged Iran war keeps the floor under Brent. Every week that the Strait of Hormuz remains disrupted by US blockade, as reported by Al Jazeera, is a week in which Russia's eastern energy pivot becomes more economically rational for both seller and buyer. Trump's China trip and the sequencing game Xi is playing, the fact that Putin arrived in Beijing fewer than 5 days after Trump departed, is not incidental. Xi is conducting parallel diplomacy with the two leaders most capable of redrawing global trade and security lines, and the sequencing communicates something specific: Beijing will not choose between Washington and Moscow if it can extract concessions from both. Details of Trump's China trip were not disclosed in full in available source material at time of publication. What is clear from context across reporting is that Trump visited China and that the visit generated significant coverage, including Al Jazeera documentation of Trump's subsequent White House ballroom showcase on May 19, the same day Putin landed in Beijing. Our view: Xi is running a two-table negotiation. With Trump, the likely subject is trade normalization, tariffs, and technology transfer. With Putin, it is energy pricing, yuan settlement architecture, and potentially military technology. The investor implication is that any trade deal Washington believes it struck with Beijing may have a shadow clause. The degree to which China is willing to enforce Western sanctions on Russia is likely to be a hidden variable in whatever agreement Trump announced. This is not a new pattern. In 2023 and 2024, China consistently maintained that it would not supply Russia with weapons-grade materiel while quietly expanding dual-use technology flows. The back-to-back summits in May 2026 suggest that pattern is being institutionalized, not reversed. Iran's economic fractures and the civilian cost of the new axis, the geopolitical realignment Putin and Xi are negotiating, has a human ledger. In Tehran, renters face a 30-40% year-on-year increase in housing costs on average, based on reports in local media and realtor associations cited by Al Jazeera. The Statistical Center of Iran recorded a 31% year-on-year rent increase in the first Persian calendar month ending April 20, against a backdrop of 73% general inflation in the same period. Iran's monthly minimum wage sits at approximately $90, rising to around $120 after government subsidies and allowances. The poverty line for an average family stands at roughly 700 million rials, or approximately $400 per month. The gap between wages and costs is not a rounding error. It is a structural dislocation. Caption: Key economic indicators across the Iran war zone and energy markets, May 2026. The relevance to the Putin-Xi meeting is direct. Iran's economic collapse is creating a population under severe financial stress during a tenuous ceasefire. The U.S.-Israel strikes were suspended more than a month before publication, but no permanent settlement had been reached. A resumption of fighting would push energy prices higher, further stress Iranian civilians, and increase the pressure on Beijing to position itself as a post-conflict reconstruction partner, which is precisely the kind of long-duration infrastructure role that Chinese state capital has deployed across the developing world for two decades. Capital reallocation, banks, labor, and the long arc of deglobalization. The Putin-Xi summit sits within a broader capital reallocation story that institutional investors cannot afford to view in isolation. Standard Chartered, an Asia and Africa-focused bank headquartered in the UK, announced in May 2026 that it will cut more than 15% of its back-office workforce, approximately 7,800 roles, by 2030, as part of Chief Executive Bill Winter's latest global strategy. The bank cited artificial intelligence deployment across automation, advanced analytics, and decision-making as the driver. Standard Chartered's back-office operations are concentrated in India, China, Malaysia, and Poland. That geographic footprint maps almost exactly onto the trade corridors that a deepened Russia-China energy axis would amplify. As sanctions fragment global banking into Eastern and Western clearing lanes, banks with dominant Asia-Pacific infrastructure face a strategic decision. Do they deepen into the emerging non-dollar settlement architecture, or do they tighten compliance and retreat? Winter's workforce restructuring suggests Standard Chartered is betting on AI-driven efficiency to remain competitive across both geographies, but the geopolitical pressure on banks operating in China is only rising. Singapore's DBS separately announced plans to cut approximately 4,000 contract and temporary roles over 3 years, also citing AI. The pattern across financial institutions is consistent: reduce headcount, increase automation, and preserve flexibility to operate across a fragmented regulatory landscape. Our view: the convergence of AI-driven bank restructuring and sanctions-driven financial fragmentation creates a structural opening for non-Western clearing infrastructure. Chinese state banks, already expanding yuan-denominated settlement with Russia, are the likely beneficiaries of any further Western bank retrenchment from the corridor. The Plaquemium view: the market is pricing the Putin-Xi meeting as a diplomatic sidebar to the more consequential Trump-China talks. That framing is incorrect, and the error is expensive. The correct frame is this: Trump's China visit and Putin's China visit are not competing storylines. They are two inputs into a single Chinese foreign policy output, which is maximum optionality at minimum cost. Beijing collects concessions from Washington on trade and simultaneously deepens the energy and financial architecture with Moscow that reduces its dependence on any concession Washington makes. The two visits, taken together, strengthen China's hand in both directions. For portfolio construction, the second-order play is in energy infrastructure and non-dollar settlement rails. Russian crude flowing east at discounted prices while Brent trades near $111 creates a persistent margin for Chinese refiners with access to that discount. If the Iran ceasefire holds and Brent retreats from $111 toward pre-war levels near $73, China loses the discount arbitrage but gains from lower input costs across its manufacturing base. Either scenario is constructive for Chinese industrial and energy equities relative to Western peers. The third-order play is Iran reconstruction. The Al Jazeera reporting on Iran's housing market and 73% inflation describes an economy that will require enormous capital to rebuild, whenever the shooting stops. The country that positions itself as the primary reconstruction financier, and the historical precedent from Iraq, Libya, and Syria points to Chinese state capital as the most likely candidate, will extract long-duration concessions in energy access and infrastructure ownership. Institutional capital that is positioned only for the headline risk, conflict escalation or de-escalation in the Middle East, is missing the longer-duration play, the structural rewiring of Eurasian trade, energy, and financial settlement that Putin and Xi are advancing one bilateral meeting at a time. That rewiring does not reverse when a ceasefire becomes permanent. It compounds. The bottom line: Putin's Beijing visit on May 19, 2026 is the most consequential diplomatic event of the week precisely because it received less coverage than Trump's. Xi is running parallel tracks with Washington and Moscow, and the sequencing is deliberate. Brent crude near $111 a barrel gives Russia fiscal oxygen and gives China a reason to lock in discounted Russian supply before any Iran settlement normalizes prices. Standard Chartered 7,800 roll reduction and DBS's 4,000 roll cut signal that Western financial institutions are automating toward flexibility in an environment where the regulatory and geopolitical cost of operating across sanctions lines is rising. The forward-looking claim: within 18 months, institutional investors will be forced to explicitly position on whether their emerging market exposure is aligned with the dollar clearing corridor or the yuan settlement corridor. Today, most portfolios straddle both, which is not a strategy. It is an unpriced risk. The Putin's Xi summit is one more data point confirming that the choice is becoming unavoidable.